Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, have a good day.
Hi, what's your name again, please?
865.
She had the World Trade Center. Someone having difficulty breathing on the 83rd floor.
Okay, ma'am, how you doing?
Are they going to be able to get somebody up here?
Well, of course, ma'am. We're coming up to you.
Well, there's no one here yet, and the floor is completely engulfed. We're on the floor, and we can't breathe.
Okay.
And it's very, very, very hot.
Are the lights still on?
The lights are on, but it's very hot.
Ma'am.
Very hot. We're all the way on the other side of Liberty, and it's very, very hot.
Are your lights, did you just turn the lights off?
No, the lights are off.
Okay, good. Now, everybody stay calm. You're doing a good job.
Please.
Ma'am, listen. Damn, everybody's coming. Everybody knows. Everybody knows what happened, okay?
Yeah.
But don't know if they have to take time to come up here. You know that. You got to be very careful.
It's very hot.
I understand. You got to be very, very careful how they approach you, okay? All right? So when they come upstairs, it won't be worse than it is. Now, you stay calm. And so how many people where you're at right now?
There's like 5 people here with me.
Call us on the 83rd floor?
83rd floor.
With 5 people. 5 patients. Everybody's having trouble breathing?
Everybody's having trouble breathing. Some people are worse.
And some people are unconscious. Everybody's awake?
So far, yes. But it's
listen, everybody's awake?
Yes, so far.
Conscious. And it's very hot there, but no fire, right?
I can't see. It's too hot.
Very hot. No fire for now. And no smoke, right? No smoke, right?
Of course there's smoke.
Ma'am, you have to stay calm.
There is smoke. I can't breathe.
Okay, you stay calm with me, okay? I understand.
I think there is fire because it's very hot.
Okay.
It's very hot everywhere on the floor.
Okay. I know you don't see it, and I know, but I'm going to document. I'm documenting what you say, okay? And it's very hot. We see no fire, but you see smoke, right?
It's very hot. I don't see any air anymore.
Okay.
All I see is smoke.
Okay, dear. I'm so sorry. Hold on one. Stay calm with me. Stay calm.
Now, listen.
The call is in. I'm documenting. I'm going to let them... Hold on 1 second, please.
I'm gonna die, aren't I? No.
Say your prayers. We're gonna think positive because you gotta help each other get off the floor.
Stay calm.
You're doing a good job, ma'am. You're doing a good job.
I'm burning up.
The floor is hot and everything is hot. They're all their deaths. When you go up high, you get too close away from the smoke. Okay. I know you know. Hold on a second. 83rd floor, 3 people trapped. Very hot on the 83rd floor. 3 people trapped. Having trouble breathing. It's very hot.
Wait, hear voices. Help! Help!
That's what I'm doing. I'm just letting you know.
Okay.
Hello, ma'am?
Help!
Stay calm. Ma'am?
Help!
Stay calm. Just don't move.
Oh, my God.
They're coming through to you now?
Find out if there's anybody here on the 83rd floor.
Ma'am, don't worry. You stay on the phone with me, and
find out if there's anyone on the 83rd floor? Because...
Ma'am,
Excuse me.
I already notified this lieutenant, okay? Ado? Yes, Lieutenant Ado. I already notified the lieutenant that there's 5 people on the first floor, right? Very hot and smoky. So they will overlook you, okay, dear?
Can you...
I already did that.
Stay on the line with you, please.
Yes, ma'am. I am going to stay with
you.
Listen, take...
They're here?
Are they inside with you yet, dear?
No.
Okay, stay calm till they get inside.
Find out where they are.
Ma'am, stay calm till they get inside.
Karen.
Ma'am, what's the job number you have?
I have 727. 727? Yes.
If tomorrow all the things were gone, I'd work for all my life, and I had to start again with just my children and my wife. I thank my lucky stars to be living here today, 'cause the flag still stands for freedom, and they can't take that away. the men who died, who gave that right to me, and I gladly stand up next to you and defend her still today, 'cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA. From the lakes of Minnesota to the hills of Tennessee, across the plains of Texas, from sea to shining sea, from Detroit down to Houston and New York to L.A., well, there's pride in every American heart, and it's time we stand and say, there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA. And I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the man who died, who gave that right to me. And I'm glad today, 'cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA.
All right. You're listening to the C. Robert Jones Situation Report, with a special broadcast of the events and commemoration of 9/11. We did this. We did a similar broadcast last year, and it met with great success. And hopefully, this one will be as memorable. I could say it, but it wouldn't be as profound, it wouldn't be as moving as Fox contributor Robert Peter Johnson Jr. Last year he said it, and he said it better than anybody could. And so let's let his word speak. The darkness is lifted and morning is broken over New York Harbor as Ground Zero memorials become a World Trade Center future. In 12 years, we've come to understand the power of faith and the pain of sacrifice more than we ever imagined. And just like the souls of the faithful departed who sought heavenly refuge as they flew from windows above the pool now filled in their memory, the fate of their brothers and sisters who rushed into the burning towers to save them were also sealed. Now sick first responders die day by day in slow motion replay of 9/11 free falls. So above all, on this day, we honor the dead and the living and the sick, innocents and heroes, all of every color, creed, and station. We aspire to greatness of those who have loved and lost, who served and died in New York City, at the Pentagon, in Pennsylvania, and in Shanksville, and in Iraq and Afghanistan. But the association we yearn requires deep daily obligation. Remembering today is a beginning, not an ending, because duty and sacrifice is in the doing and serving, and the measure of the strength of our union is not in the iconic design of a memorial or a politician's September 11th promise to tearful survivors. It's how we respond to the challenges when this anniversary is passed. Do we answer the call to a national service? Do we embrace the romance of duty? Do we demand the necessity of honor? 12 years later, we do. And we have, and we will. 12 years from now, in the shadow of the lady statue we call Liberty, we must say to the friends we knew and the friends we never had, the friends we never had a chance to meet, that the call has been answered, the duty redeemed, the honor affirmed, the mission completed. That a crying sky that is once filled with ash and tears of desperation has seeded a new skyline of aspirations achieved, obligations met, and debts paid. As I visited the Tribute Center yesterday and saw still grieving family members and courageous FEMA search and rescue task force from around the country, I thought of a happy time at the Trade Center to balance the sadness. Dinner at the Windows of the World and the market. Long days and nights working in the governor's office. 10 years ago, when I spoke at the funeral of my friend and fire chaplain, Michael Judge, I relied on the optimistic letter he wrote my daughters a few weeks before his death as a prophecy of our resurgence and resilience. I sat and gazed at Lady Liberty, so majestic with her torch burning brightly, and through the great feelings of joy and happiness and hope that my mother and father experienced when they saw her for the first time as their boat came into New York Harbor. It was their dream come true. 1921, oh, so long ago. They had no idea of all the blessings and few sorrows that lie ahead of them. They were so brave and had such faith and trust in God that He brought them to these shores and that He would care for them. In New York City, 12 years later, those we lost smile knowingly that they are never forgotten as mourning has broken in America. Peter Johnson Jr., a Fox News analyst and an attorney, he said it, and he said it best, better than I could ever hope to say. So, here we are once again. Another year has passed. Do you remember where you were? Do you remember where you were that fateful morning? Were you at work? Were you at play? What were you doing? All of this and more reminds me of what it must have been like, or gives me rather pause for thought of what it must have been like on the day that Martin Luther King was gunned down, or perhaps President Kennedy, or Pearl Harbor. I've often heard the question before 9/11, before that awful day, people asking the questions of those folks. Do you remember where you were? I wondered and hoped that I would never experience a question like that. But here we are, a new generation of Americans experiencing that question. Do you remember where you were? Yes, we do. We do indeed. And today, we honor those, as Peter Johnson Jr. said, both living, dead, suffering. We honor them. We remember. We'll never forget. Of course not. So, with that in mind, let's take a short break and listen. Listen. You're listening to the C. Robert Jones Situation Report. The call-in number is 347-884-8500.
The cockpit's not answering. Somebody's stabbed in business class. And I think there's mates that we can't breathe. I don't know. I think we're getting hijacked. Which flight are you on? Flight 12.
Input seat, are you on? Ma'am, are you there?
Yes.
What seat are you in?
Ma'am, what seat are you in?
We just left Boston. We're up in the air. We're supposed to go to L.A., and the cockpit's not answering their phone.
Okay, but what seat are you sitting in? What's the number of your seat?
Okay, I'm in my jump seat right now.
Okay.
At 3R.
Okay, you're the flight attendant? I'm sorry, did you say you're the flight attendant?
Hello?
Yes, hello?
What is your name?
Hi. You're going to have to speak up. I can't hear you.
Sure. What is your name?
Okay, my name is Betty Ong. I'm number 3 on flight 11.
Okay.
And the cockpit is not answering their phone. And there's somebody staffed in business class, and we can't breathe in business class. Somebody's got mace or something.
Can you describe the person that you said someone is what in business class?
I'm sitting in the back. Somebody's coming back from business. If you can hold on for 1 second, okay. They're coming back. Our person is stabbed. Nobody knows who's stabbed too, and we can't even get up to business class right now because nobody can breathe. Our number one is just stabbed right now.
Okay.
Our first class gal is flight attendant, and our purser has been stabbed. And we can't get up to the cockpit. The door won't open. Hello?
Yeah, I'm taking down all the information. We're also, of course, recording this. At this point...
This is operations. What flight number are we talking about?
Flight 12.
Flight 12. Okay, so we're on flight 11 right now. This is flight 11.
It's flight 11. I'm sorry, Nitty.
Boston to Los Angeles.
Yes.
Our number one has been stabbed, and our 5 has been stabbed.
Well, if they were shrewd, they would keep the door closed and...
I'm sorry?
Would they not mean to cut it?
I think the guys are up there. They might have gone down their way up there or something. Nobody can call the cops that we can't even get inside.
Okay.
Hi, who is calling reservations? Is this one of the flight attendants or who are you, hon?
She gave her name as Betty Ong.
Betty, I'm number 3. I'm number 3 on this flight. You're the number 3 on the flight?
Yes.
And this is flight 11?
Somewhere to where?
Flight 11. Have you guys called anyone else?
No.
Somebody's calling medical.
All right, and we're back with the C. Robert Jones Situation Report. I played that clip for a reason. And here it is. I'd like for you to take a moment and put yourself on that plane, in that jump seat, just for a moment. And think about, take a moment, if you will, to think about how you would react. I myself have given this very idea a lot of thought. How would I have reacted on any of those planes, in any of those situations? How would I have reacted if trapped in the Twin Towers? I know it's hard to answer those questions. Of course it is. But I'm sure, no, I suspect that a lot of you have given that some thought. So, here we are, once again. What do you think? Well, let's take a call. Caller, you're on with the C. Robert Jones Situation Report.
Hey, Dr. Jones. This is Pat O'Keefer from In Defense of Freedom. Just calling in on my lunch break. I've been trying to listen in throughout the day. And,
caller?
I wanted to thank you for getting involved.
Must be away from the phone. We'll get back to him. All right. So here we go. Well, you know what I think? It's hard to put into words how we've gotten that to this point. She is calm. One wonders. We'll take a short break and let's just take one more listen here, and then we'll get to our callers. Ah, Patrick on his lunch break. Okay, so we'll play one more clip, and then we'll get to our calls. You're listening to the C. Robert Jones Situation Report. I'm your host, Dr. C. Robert Jones, on another memorable day. Also, the show is being simulcast on Stitcher Radio. So we'll be right back.
Everybody has told me that has lost loved ones, you'll lose the sound of their voice. I've probably listened to the message hundreds of times.
It's there. I hear it. I know it. I'm still very fragile to listen to it. And so I'm comforted to know it's there, but I don't listen to it.
I love you, and I'm freaking so. experience is a guy fall out of probably the 91st story all the way down.
Okay. Now you stay on the line with me.
Joins us. He was on the 86th floor I'm not sure which tower. Was it the east, north or south, Jim?
It's World Trade Center 1, and it's not was. I am here, and I'm stuck right now.
Now, are you above, Jim, or below?
I have no idea. I have no idea where the plane hit. It's my understanding that it's a plane.
Jim, there are two planes. One went into one tower, one went into the other tower. What do you see around you? I mean, are you in smoke? Are you in fire? I mean,
the first thing that I want to make clear is that I'm stuck on the 86th floor. A fire door has trapped us, debris has fallen around us, and part of the core of the building is blown out.
How many people are with you, Jim?
I'm with one other person, and I'm told that people are aware of this. I'm on the 86th floor on the east side of the building facing the East River.
And what time did you
get on the air? I want to tell anybody that has a family member that may be in the building that the situation is under control for the moment, and the danger has not increased. So please, all family members, take it easy.
Today we tell the story of the 9/11 attacks through some of the words spoken that morning, 10 years ago. A newly released document includes recordings of air traffic controllers, military pilots, and others reacting to the fast-moving events of that fateful day. On September 11th, 2001, 19 Al-Qaeda members at hijacked four passenger planes in the eastern part of the United States. They crashed two of them into the World Trade Center in New York City, destroying the Twin Towers as we know. A third plane hit the Pentagon, the Defense Department headquarters outside Washington, D.C. The fourth plane crashed in a field in Pennsylvania. The documents that I have here are known as audio monograph, and they begin with normal radio calls shortly after 8 o'clock. American Airlines Flight 11 had just left Boston from Los Angeles with 92 people on board. Now, the question again is, where were you during this time? I myself was a recently retired Marine officer sitting on my couch that morning in a Yahoo chat room. As I sat chatting in a Yahoo chat room, military chat room, one of the chatters said to everyone, turn on the news. Turn on your local news. A plane has just hit the Twin Towers. They believe it's a small passenger plane, reminiscent of the aircraft that struck the Empire State Building way back in the mid to late 1920s. I think it was like early 1930s. So I turned on the television, and as I'm watching, I'm hearing the announcers say that they believe it was that the plane was a small passenger plane, and that they do not believe that there was an act of terrorism. As I sat there just a few minutes later, I watched in horror as the second plane hit the towers. Two days later, I received a call from Headquarters Marine Corps asking me to once again answer the call. And I did. I retired again for the second time 12 years later. I answered the call, and so did many others. What about you, though? What have you done to remember the victims of 9/11? Better to ask the question, is there anything we can do besides remember? Boston Center. Good morning, America 11. With you passing through 190-4230. Controller. America 11, Boston Center. Roger. Climb. Maintain level 280. Soon radio contact is lost. A flight attendant on the plane, Betty Onuk, called a company officer to report the hijacking. A woman in that office then called the airline emergency line, Nina Gonzalez. So far, what I've gotten, the number 5 flight attendant has been stabbed, but she seems to be breathing. The number 1 seems to be stabbed pretty badly, and she's lying down on the floor. They don't know whether she's conscious or not. The other flight attendants are in the back. It's as far as I know. It seems like the passengers in the coach section might not be aware of what's going on right now. At 8:24, the voice of hijacker Mohammed Atta was heard over the radio. Nobody move. Everybody will be okay. If you try to make any moves, you will injure yourself and the airplane. Just stay quiet. Those are direct quotes. At 8:50, controller in New York, controllers in New York received a call from another plane. Unknown pilot. Anybody know what that smoke is in lower Manhattan? New York Center. I'm sorry, say again. Unknown pilot. Lot of smoke in lower Manhattan. New York Center. A lot of smoke in lower Manhattan? Unknown pilot. Coming out of the top of the World Trade Center. Major fire. Let's take a call. Caller, you're on with the C. Robert Jones Situation Report. Yep, caller, you're on.
You talking to the area code 910?
There you are. Okay, I hear you now.
Yeah, I had to unmute my phone. This is Mark, and I'm from North Carolina.
All right, and we're back. Having some trouble hearing my caller there. Not sure if it's an issue over here or an issue over there. Well, moving forward. You all heard him. So there must be an issue over here then. Not sure what that issue is, and I'll try to correct it as we go along. Let's see here. Uh-huh. Now I know what the problem is. Now we're back. Caller, you're on with the C. Robert Jones Situation Report.
Hello, Dr. Jones. This is Mark.
Hey, Mark. Hey, Mark. I had a simple issue over here, and that was simply to turn up the volume.
I understand that. I do that much time and again.
Yeah. So, hey, let me ask you something. Have you got a minute? Where were you during the 9/11 attack? What were you doing?
The day that 9/11 happened, I was at work at the plant. I was running one of my 17 heat treat furnaces in the heat treat facility for Dana Corporation in Statesville, North Carolina.
Mm-hmm. Are you there now?
No, I'm actually laying in bed in the nursing facility. I had a stroke back in 2007.
Oh, I'm so sorry to hear that. I know how devastating strokes can be, given that a few family members have suffered similar events. So we're sorry to hear about that. But if you could, tell us, give us your thoughts on 9/11 and what and how do you commemorate this day, if at all?
Well, I remember it because I was just running one of the furnaces and. One of the guys came up from back in the office area where they had the metallurgy lab, and they said that a small plane had hit one of the World Trade Centers, and so that piqued everybody's interest then. Now, we found out later it wasn't a small plane, it was a big plane, mm-hmm. and, then later on the towers did come down, but... I remember it by thinking on it and also by making sure that I mark who it was that did it to us and why they did it to us.
Yeah. Yeah, and I couldn't agree more. You know, there's lots of speculation that 9/11 was some sort of an inside job, that conspiracy theorists abound. I tend to think that that kind of thing, which we'll hear a lot of in the next on Blog Talk Radio about, I think it's blasphemous, and I also believe that there's no place for that on this particular day, even though I just brought it up. What do you think about such things?
I think it cheapens the memory of those that lost their lives on 9/11.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Especially the sacrifice of those that ran into that building to save those that were trapped up in the upper stories.
Yeah. And you know what? I tend to agree. I think that such talk is out of bounds. I had a person who I speak with regularly on Blog Talk Radio, and that's pretty much all he ever talks about. So I think that at this time it's a point of reflection and introspection with regard to how we conduct our daily lives and the fact that tomorrow's promised to no one. And I often put myself as best I can in the situations that we've all heard about and wonder how I would have reacted under the same circumstances. Do you ever do that?
Yes, I do, especially as it regards Flight 93. What would I have done if I was on Flight 93 and knowing, having talked to somebody on the telephone, knowing what had happened earlier with the other planes, what would I have done?
Yeah.
Would have been one of those that said, let's roll and headed to the front. Just, situation, whatever happens is going to happen, because I can't control what they're going to do. But all I can do is control how I react to it.
Well, you know what, and I couldn't agree more. Please hold on and listen to the show as best you can if you're still able to, and we'll take another call and we'll get right back to you if you're still inclined to offer a comment. So
I'm always up for.
All right, caller, you're on with the C. Robert Jones Situation Report. All right. I think that caller's just listening in. Hey, if you'd like to chime in and you'd like to give a comment, just hit the one button and then we'll bring you on board. We've got a whole host of folks in the chat room today. We're going to be discussing 9/11 and commemorating 9/11 all day long, all the way into later on this night, later on tonight. So let's go ahead and put it out there for everybody so they'll know which shows are being broadcast later on after my show is over. We'll be right back. You're listening to the C. Robert Jones Situation Report. The call-in number is 347-884-8500. We'll be right back.
Progressive terrible events and carnage of September 11th, 2001. Tuesday, September 11th, from 8 a.m. to midnight. Get your 9/11 fix all day, right here on Blog Talk Radio. Remember with reverence what the progressives want you to forget. Join Red Fox at 8 a.m. to kick it off. And then from 10 to 12, listen to the Patriot Zone Forum. Listen in from work or wherever you are and join my friend Doc Jones hosting The Situation Report at a special time from 12 to 2 p.m. Eastern Time. And then the lovely and talented radio chick Annie from Southern Sense carries the afternoon from 2 to 3:30 p.m. Starting again at 4, we have the East Anglian's EDL radio show for 2 hours with a heartfelt tribute to the day that lives in infamy. Tune in after work and listen to Freedom's Wings starting at 6 and sliding into primetime at 8. Listen to the show, In Defense of Freedom. Then at 10 p.m., the grand finale. The very popular Hold Your Awakening wraps up this amazing marathon tribute, remembering the fallen from 9/11. Again, the shows involved are Red Fox,
8 to 10 a.m.
The Patriot Zone Forum,
10 a.m. to noon.
The Situation Report,
12 to 2.
Southern Sense,
2 to 3:30.
East Anglian's EDL radio show,
4 to 6 p.m.
Freedom's Wings,
6 to 8 p.m.
In Defense of Freedom,
8 to 10 p.m.
and Hold Your Awakening.
10 p.m. to midnight.
These are great shows with great hosts. And if you're looking for a break from the mainstream liberal media, then come to a place where conservatism is spoken, promoted, and enhanced by regular people who want to fight for their freedom. You can join the fight by listening and spend the day by remembering the fallen with these folks, each in their own way. The 9/11 tribute, remembering the events of the day, and reverence for the fallen. None asked for it that day, but all got it. Tuesday, September 11th, starting at 8 a.m. Eastern Time.
Right here on Blog Talk Radio.
All right. We're back. I think we had some Skype issues going on here. Yeah, it did get kind of screwy there for a minute, but that sort of thing happens from time to time. Those trapped in the towers left their messages. I'm here. The building is full of smoke. One male caller caught in the upper floors of one of the two towers reported to the police sergeant that the stairwells are packed. On one of the two floors is a big hole. Pat Hoy, a 53-year-old executive with the Port Authority in charge of special projects at the George Washington Bridge and Lincoln Tunnel, left his last public words. He called a police desk sergeant from the 64th floor of the North Tower minutes before it collapsed. And I quote, "I've got 20 people here with me. What do you suggest?" The response was, "Sit tight. Stay near the stairwells and wait for the police to come up." The response? "They will come up, huh?" Hoyo asked. "Okay. Then we'll stay here." Then there was a loud commotion. Quote, "If you would, just report that we're up here." He called back a few minutes later. "The smoke is getting kind of bad, so we're contemplating going down the stairwell. Does that make sense?" "Yes," the police desk man said. "Try to get out." And here we are. So let's take a call. Caller, you're on with the C. Robert Jones Situation Report.
Hey, Dr. Jones, it's Holger.
Holger, there he is.
Hey there.
Hi.
I probably got a crappy connection. I'm out driving on my hands-free here, but I just wanted to make sure I told you how appreciative I am that you are doing the show today.
Well, no, it's a pleasure to have been asked to help with the shows this time around. We did something similar last year, and it was it was a very moving experience, and I was very, very happy to do it. So to be asked this time, has been a great honor for me. Even though we've had some technical glitches with me not turning the sound up in one instance and Blog Talk Radio crapping out another, it's been great so far. And all of the hosts who've come before me, starting this morning with Red Fox, I mean, they have just put on phenomenal shows and given out great information and had some great some moving memories of 9/11 events. And of course, we're looking forward to you a little bit later on this evening.
Yeah, well, and I can't see the chat room, but for those people that showed up in the chat room, I want to thank them for remembering today.
Yeah. A lot of folks have taken time out of their busy day to listen in to the show and to participate in the chat room, which is absolutely fabulous, given the fact that, we all have a lot of things to do in our daily lives, but to take some time out of our day, a couple of hours out of the day, and perhaps even a bit more to commemorate this occasion and not forget. Because as Freedom Wings typed in the chat room just a few moments ago, she has heard no end of people saying, "Hey, let's move on. Why dredge up these old memories? Why?" I'm paraphrasing because I only got a chance to read a little bit of it, but basically the gist is, let's move on. Let's forget these painful memories. Let's let the folks rest in peace. Why do you think we shouldn't do that?
Well, it's a few years ago the it came down that this should just be a day of service now,
mm-hmm.
that we shouldn't remember. And, quite frankly, between the political correctness and the multiculturalism in the country, I think there's a lot of people that don't want to, focus on who and why did this, why they did this. And, this is a day that we have to remember. I'm going to remember this the rest of my life, and it's kind of hard for me to believe that another American is not affected that same way.
Well, yeah, and you're exactly right. I think that, as I stated earlier during the show, you know, we have a lot of us. You know, I'm 50 years old, and I haven't really had the opportunity to experience the question until 9/11 of where were you when. Put fill in the blanks. You know, I've heard people ask the question. I've heard pundits ask the question. Prognosticators ask, well, where were you? You know, when Martin Luther King died, or where were you when Kennedy was assassinated? Where were you during Pearl Harbor? Now we, this generation, the last two generations, are experiencing this very same question. Where were you during 9/11, there's a lot of opportunity for reflection and introspection at this time to really put in perspective, you know, what life really should be about, especially when you're listening to the last words of loved ones for the and they're professing their love and honor and devotion in their very last minutes. They know they're going to die, you know, and all they can think to do and all that they believe is important is to call someone and tell them that they love them. And to me, that speaks more to the human spirit than anything else.
Well, exactly. And you know, you talk, everybody's heard that, you know, where were you when Kennedy was assassinated? But, you know, the difference with 9/11 is, you know, that's nearly nearly 3,000 people that died that day. And just imagine, you know, how many people, how many mothers and brothers and sons and daughters and cousins and uncles and grandparents that affected. You know, people heard about Kennedy being assassinated, but these are people in their own family that died that day. You know, the effect on the country was devastating. I can't even imagine the number of people connected to all of those dead on that day.
Yeah. Yeah, you're exactly right. It's been an interesting time. And, And when I say interesting times, it reminds me of the old proverb, may you live in interesting times, which is not so much a blessing but a curse. And here we are living in interesting times where we have those of us who wish to never forget, to commemorate this time, to honor the dead, to honor the fallen and the heroes. And then there are people out there who simply want us to let it go. Just let it go, you know, and I simply don't understand it. You know, I have not met, now personally, I haven't spoken to anyone who's ever suggested any such thing, but I suspect there are a great many people who are going to be doing that very same thing today. Just let it go. And, you know, I just wonder how anyone could think that way.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
Well, I've got to run here. I really appreciate your taking the call. And again, thanks to you and the other hosts that are putting this on today. I've been able to catch a little bit of pretty much every show since midnight
mm-hmm.
last night, and it's just great. So never forget, man.
All right, man. We'll look in for your show a little bit later.
All right. We'll do. Thanks,
all right.
Doctor.
You're welcome.
Yep.
All right. So that was my main man, Holder, whose show's coming up a little bit later on this evening. He's going to bring it down for us a little bit later. Hey, if you got a question or a comment, something you want to say, get off your chest, the call-in number is 347-884-8500 and press the 1 button. In the meantime, we're going to take one more break and then we'll come right back. And then we'll start to read off the names. It's my turn. So we'll be right back. You're listening to the C. Robert Jones Situation Report.
Somebody's stabbed in business class, and I think there's mates that we can't breathe. I don't know. I think we're getting hijacked.
Which flight are you on?
Flight 12.
Input seat, are you in? Ma'am, are you there?
Yes.
What seat are you in?
Ma'am, what seat are you in? We just left Boston. We're up in the air.
We're supposed
to go to L.A., and the cockpit's not answering their phone.
What seat are you sitting in? What's the number of your seat?
Okay, I'm in my jump seat right now.
Okay.
At 3R.
Okay, you're the flight attendant? I'm sorry, did you say you're the flight attendant?
Hello?
Yes, hello? What is your name?
Hi. I'm going to have to speak up. I can't hear you.
Sure. What is your name?
Okay, my name is Betty Ong. I'm number 3 on flight 11.
Okay.
And the cockpit is not answering their phone. And there's somebody staffed in business class, and we can't breathe in business class. Somebody's got mace or something.
Can you describe the person that you said someone is what in business class?
I'm sitting in the back. Somebody's coming back from business. If you can hold on for 1 second, sure. They're coming back. Our number one got stabbed. Our person is stabbed. Nobody knows who's stabbed who, and we can't even get up to business class right now because nobody can breathe. Our number one is stabbed right now.
Okay.
Number 5, our first class passengers, our first class galley flight attendant, and our purser has been stabbed. And we can't get to the cockpit. The door won't open.
Yeah, I'm taking down all the information. We're also, of course, recording this. At this point...
This is operations. What flight number are we talking about?
Flight 12.
Flight 12. Okay, I'm going on flight 11 right now. This is flight 11.
It's flight 11. I'm sorry, Nitty.
Boston to Los Angeles.
Yes.
Our number one has been stabbed, and our 5 has been stabbed. Can anybody get up to the cockpit? Okay, we can't even get into the cockpit. We don't know who's up there.
Well, if they were shrewd, they would keep the door closed and...
I'm sorry?
Would they not maintain a sterile cockpit?
I think the guys are up there. They might have jammed their way up there or something. Nobody can call the cockpit. We can't even get inside.
Everyone remembers the pictures, but I think more and more about the sounds. I always ask people what they hear or what they heard that day in New York. We've all seen the films and the videotape, but the sound equipment of television crews didn't always catch what people have described as the deep, metallic roar. The other night on TV, there was a documentary on the ironworks of New York's Local 40, whose members ran to the site when the towers fell. They pitched in to rescue, then stayed for 8 months to deconstruct a skyscraper some of them had helped build 35 years before. An ironworker named Jim Gaffney said, and I quote, "My partner kept telling me the buildings are coming down. And I'm saying, no way." And then we heard that noise that we'll never forget. It was like a creaking, and then the next thing you felt, the ground rumbling, end quote. Rudy Giuliani said it was like an earthquake. The actor Jim Caviezel saw the second plane hit the tower on television, and what he heard shocked him. Quote, "a weird, guttural, discordant sound," quote, end quote. He called it a sound exactly like lightning. He knew because earlier that year, he'd been hit. My mom, my son, then a teenager in high school across the river from the towers, heard the first plane go in at 8:45 a.m. It sounded, he said, like a heavy truck going hard over a big street grate. I think, too, about the sounds that came from within the buildings and within the planes and the phone calls and the messages left on answering machines. All the last things said to whomever was home and picked up the phone. They awe me. Those messages were very moving, very heartfelt. Something terrible has happened. Life was reduced to its essentials. Time was short. People said what counted, what really mattered. It's been noted that there is no record of anyone calling to say, "I never liked you," or "You hurt my feelings." No one negotiated past grievances or said, "Vote for Smith." Amazingly or not, there is no record of anyone damning the terrorist or saying, "I hate them." No one said anything unneeded, extraneous, or small, or petty. Crisis is a great editor. Brevity, the soul of wit. When you read the transcripts that have been released over the years, it's all so very clear. Flight 93 flight attendant, C.C. Lyles, 33 years old, in an answering machine message to her husband, and I quote, "Please tell my children that I love them very much. I'm sorry, baby. I wish I could see your face again," end quote. 31-year-old Melissa Harrington, a California-based trade consultant, at a meeting in the towers, called her father to say she loved him. Minutes later, she left a message on the answer machine as her new husband slept in their San Francisco home. "Sean, it's me," she said. "I just wanted to let you know I love you," end quote. Captain Walter Hines of the New York Fire Department's Ladder 13 dialed home that morning as his rig left the firehouse at 85th Street and Lexington Avenue. He was on his way downtown. He said in his message, "And things were bad. I don't know if we'll make it out. I want to tell you that I love you, and I love the kids," end quote. Firemen don't become firemen because they're pessimists. Imagine being a guy who feels in his gut he's going to his death, and he calls on the way to say goodbye and make things clear. His widow later told the Associated Press she'd played his message hundreds of times and made copies for their kids. Quote, "He was thinking about us in those final moments," end quote. Elizabeth Rivers saw it that way too. When her husband left for the World Trade Center that morning, she went to a laundry where she heard the news. She couldn't reach him by cell and then rushed home. He called at 9:02 and reached their daughter. The child reported, quote, "He say, 'Mommy, he say, he love you no matter what happens. He loves you,'" end quote. He never called again. Mrs. Rivas later said, "He tried to call me. He called me," end quote. There was the amazing acceptance. Amazing. The people on the planes didn't have time to accept, to reflect, to think through. And yet so many showed the kind of grace you see in a hospice. Or in a movie. Peter Hansen, a passenger on United Airlines Flight 175, called his father. Quote, "I think they intend to go to Chicago or someplace and fly into a building," end quote. "Don't worry, Dad. If it happens, it will be very fast." On the same flight, Brian Sweeney called his wife, got the answering machine, and told her they'd been hijacked. And I quote, "Hopefully I'll talk to you again. But if not, have a good life. I know I'll see you someday again. End quote. There was Tom Burnett's famous call from United Flight 93. Quote, we're all going to die, but three of us are going to do something. End quote. I love you, honey. Quote, that's in quotes as well. There are people saying essentially, in spite of my imminent death, my thoughts are on you and with you and on love. So I asked a psychiatrist the other day for his thoughts, and he said the people on the planes and in the towers were, quote, accepting the inevitable, end quote, and taking care of unfinished business. At death's door, people pass on a responsibility. Tell Billy I never stopped loving him and forgave him long ago. Take care of Mom. Pray for me. Pray for me. I haven't been very good. They address what needs doing in their absence. This reminded me of the moment when Tom Beamer of United Flight 93 wound up praying on the phone with a woman he'd never met before, a Verizon Airphone supervisor named Lisa Jefferson. She said later that his tone was calm. It seemed as if they were old friends, she later wrote. They said the Lord's Prayer together, and then he said, let's roll. This is what I get from the last messages. People are often stronger than they know, bigger, more gallant than they guess. And this, we're all lucky to be here today and able to say what deserves saying. And if you say it a lot, it won't make it common and so unheard, but known and absorbed. I think the sound of the last messages of what was said will live as long as human history, and contain within it as much human history as anyone can ever imagine. We'll take a couple of calls and then we'll go down our list. Bad girl, you're on with the C. Robert Jones Situation Report. Hey.
Hey, Dr. Jones. I just wanted to convey the message that Patrick was trying to say to you before when you couldn't hear him.
Yeah.
He just wanted to thank you very much for being part of the lineup and tell you that he respects you so much and thinks that your show is wonderful, and we're humbled by the response that we got to doing this marathon.
Beth, I think that first I'd like to thank all of you for including me. I believe it's a great honor. We did a show we did a group of shows similar to this one last year, but certainly not on a scale of this magnitude. From the beginning of the day until the end of the day, it was nothing like this. And this was very well done and well put together. And I'd like to thank my guy David Graham for his wonderful promo, which he put together.
Fabulous.
He put together that promo at a moment's notice, and he got it to me about 30 minutes after I asked for it.
Wow.
He is phenomenal. He puts together some of the best promos, and I do thank him for that. He's paid handsomely for it, but he did put together such a fine promo, and so God bless him for that. And thank you so much for including me. And in a moment, we'll start to run down the list. Hopefully, I'll have time to complete it before the end of the show. Once again, what are your thoughts on this 9/11? Where were you?
I was just walking into work at a synagogue. And, I had called into Sean's show. And my first thoughts were, my whole body just started to shake, because my brother-in-law worked in Tower 1. And my sister had just finished chemo and radiation. And I was just horrified at the thought of her being a widow. But I found out like a half an hour or maybe an hour later that he had worked the prior Saturday. So he had a comp day and he was home. And I praise the Lord for that. But many of the congregants that we had people that worked in the trade center because we're fairly close to it here in New Jersey.
Yeah.
And my congregation in the synagogue lost quite a few people. And
yeah.
We had bomb threats, so we had to do all sorts of security implementing because High Holy Days were coming up.
Yeah.
So it was very hectic. But, and one of my nephews, his classmate, lost her dad.
Mm-hmm.
And the gentleman that I worked for after I worked at the synagogue lost his son, and he had just had a meeting with the son at the trade center and was like 3 blocks away. So it's... We just were... I couldn't go home. I stayed at the synagogue until I think like midnight.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. Well, I'm going to go ahead and get started. I'll take one more call and then we'll get started running down the list.
Thank you, Doc.
You're very welcome. Thank you. All right. That was Beth, Bad Girl, who I believe is the architect of... putting these shows together, or at least one of the many who responsible for putting this all together, and thank God for that. If anyone needs this the promo that I have that David Graham put together, please do send me an email to usmarine1@hotmail.com, and I'll shoot it right out to you. Anybody who hasn't done a show yet, I'll get it right out to you within a few minutes. But in the meantime, let's start to run down the list a little bit here. 992 is where I start, and so we'll start with Janie Nicole Gonzalez, Rosa J. Gonzalez, Mauricio Gonzalez, Lynn Catherine Goodchild, Calvin Joseph Gooding, Peter Morgan Goodrich, Harry Goody, Karin Kumar Reddy Gupa, Catherine C. Grabat, Lisa Finn Goldstein, Karen Gordon, Sebastian Gorky, Karen Joseph Gorman, Thomas Edward Grom, Michael Edward Gold, Douglas Allen Goldswell, Yogi Goya, Joan Richard Grabowski, Catherine Michael Grady, Edwin J. Graff III, David Martin Graffman, Gilbert Francis Granados, Lauren Kazuzi, and her unborn child, Elvira Granito, Winston Arthur Grant, Christopher S. Gray, Ian J. Gray, James Michael Gray, Tara McLeod Gray, John M. Grazioso, Timothy George Grazioso, Wade Brian Green, Andrew Peter Charles Curry Green, Derek Arthur Green, Wanda Anita Green, Elaine Myra Greenberg, Donald Freeman Green, Gail R. Green, James Arthur Greenleaf Jr., Eileen Marsha Greenstein, Elizabeth Martin Gregg, Dennis Marie Gregory, Donald H. Gregory, Florence Morgan Gregory, Pedro Graham, John Michael Griffin, Tawana Sherry Griffin, Joan Donna Griffin, Warren Griffin, Francis Edward Gorgon, David Joseph Grimmer, Joseph F. Guerrillo, Kenneth George Gonzalez, Joseph Greslake, Matthew James Gramilski, Robert Joseph Grehasha, Lemming Gu, Richard J. Gudano, Joseph A. Guadalupe, Cindy Yin Zhu Gwen, Jeffrey E. Gunja, Joseph P. Galaxin, Babita Guman, Douglas Brian Guillerin, Janet Ruth Gustafson, Philip T. Guza, Barbara Grazzato, Peter Mark Gilvey, Gregory Robert Haig, Andrew Lynn Haberman, Barbara Mary Habib, Philip Hertzler, Nazmi Habza, Karen Elizabeth Haggerty, Stephen Michael Haggis, Mary Lou Hoag, David Halliman, Malik Richard Hale, Diane Hale McKenzie, Richard B. Hall, Stanley R. Hall, Valdwald Jail Gerald Hall. No, that's not correct. Vaswald George Hall, Robert J. Halligan, Vincent Gerald Holleran, Carolyn B. Hallman, James Douglas Halverson, Salman Halmandi. No, Salman Hamdami, Robert W. Hamilton, Felicia Hamilton, Carl Max Hammond Jr., Frederick K. Hahn, Christopher James Hanley, Sean S. Hanley, Valerie Joan Hanna, Thomas Fall Hannafin, Kevin James Hannaford Sr., Michael Lawrence Hanna, Dana Ray Hansen, Kristen Lee Hansen, Peter Burton Hansen, Sue Kim Hansen, Vasilo G. Harmus, James A. Heron, George Francis Hardcray, Jeffrey Pike Hardy, T. J. Hardgrove, Daniel Edward Harlan, Francis Haros, Harvey L. Harrell, Stephen J. Harrell, Melissa Marie Harrington, Alyssa Ann Harris, Stuart B. Harris, John Patrick Hart, Eric Hartuno, John Clinton Hartz, Emerald Harvey, Emmerich Harvey, Peter Paul Hassim, Timothy S. Haskell, Thomas Theodore Haskell Jr. We'll take a short break from that. And consider, folks, if you will, when I read off these names, I'm visualizing actual people who were in the towers on that day. It's so easy to read off a list of names and forget that these were actual people. Sometimes you're reading letters on a piece of paper and there's no life to them. And sometimes one is forced to use their imagination to bring the words to life. But in this case, no such thing occurs. We remember that the names that we're reading are people. People. Living, breathing people with lives. Now, I can tell by reading this list that some of these people were relatives of each other. Perhaps brothers, sister, husbands, wives. And they were together. So we'll take one more call with that in mind. Well, I had a call on the line and they dropped off. So we'll continue to read on with our list and hopefully our caller will call back before the end of the show. But just remember the names. And I don't mean to belabor the point, but these are people. Someone's husband, mother, father, and on and on. Thomas Theodore Haskell Jr., Joseph John Hansen III, Terrence S. Hatton, Leonard W. Hatton Jr., Michael Haloub, Timothy Aaron Haviland, there we go. Donald G. Havelish Jr., Anthony Maurice Hawkins, Nobuhutu Hayashu, James Edward Hayden, Philip T. Hayes, Robert Joseph Hayes, Robert J. Hayes, W. Ward Haynes, Scott Jordan Hazelcorn, Michael Kevin Healy, Robert B. Herber, Charles Francis Xavier Heron, John F. Heffernan, Michael M. Heidenberger, Selena M. S. Hine, H. Joseph Heller Jr., Joanne L. Herdebride, Ronald J. Hemingway, Mark F. Hemshot, Ronnie Lee Henderson, Brian Hennessy, Edward R. Hennessy Jr., Michelle Marie Haricue, Joseph Patrick Henry, William L. Henry Jr., Katharina Henry Robinson, John Christopher Henwood, Robert Allen Hepburn, Mary Harincia, Lindsay L. Harkness III, Harvey Robert Himmer, Cerebral Velobos Henderson, Numberto Henderson, Hernandez, Raul Hernandez, Gary Harold, Jeffrey Allen Hirsch, Thomas J. Herzl, Brian Christopher Hickey, Timothy Brian Higgins, Robert D. W. Henley II, Todd Russell Hill, Clara Victorian Hines, Neil O. Hines, Mark Hindy, Robert Bruce Van Hine, Karasuki Haria, Heather Malia Ho, Thomas Anderson Hobbs, Tara Yvette Hobbs, James J. Hobbin, Robert Wayne Hobson III, Dewan Hodges, Robert George Hammer, Patrick A. Hoyo, John A. Hofford, Stephen Gerald Hoffman, Maria Hoffman, Frederick Joseph Hoffman, Michelle L. Hoffman, Judith Florence Hoffermeyer, Wallace Cole Holder Jr. No, Wallace Cole Hogan Jr., Thomas Warren Hollerick Jr., Jonathan R. Holman, Cora Halgado Holland, Joseph F. Holland, John Holland, Jimmy I. Holy, Elizabeth Holmes, Thomas Houlihan, Leroy Homer, Herbert Wilson Homer, Bradley V. Horn, James P. Hooper, Montgomery McCullough Horde, Michelle Joseph Horn, Matthew Douglas Horan, Robert L. Horahoe Jr., Michael Robert Horswick, Aaron Horwitz, Charles J. Houston, Yuhur G. Houston, Angela M. Holtz, George Gerald Howard, Brian K. Howard, Michelle C. Howell, Stephen Leon Howell, Maragos Hermada, Maria Al Hoskak, Stephen Halzark Jr., Chris Robert Hughes, Paul Rexford Hughes, Timothy Robert Hughes, Robert T. Hughes, Thomas F. Hughes Jr., Susan Hui, H-U-I-E, Lamar Demetrius Hulsel, John Nicholas Hember Jr., William Christopher Hunt, Kathleen Ann Hunt Casey, Joseph Gerald Hunter, Peggy M. Hurt, Robert R. Hosa, Stephen N. Highland Jr., Robert J. Hamel, Thomas Edward Hines, Walter G. Hines, Joseph Anthony Lanelli, Zahut Ibis, I-B-I-S, Jonathan Lee Ippi, Michael Patrick Akeen, Daniel Akavala, Frederick J. J. Ill Jr., Abraham Nosnell Izowitz, Anthony P. Appen Jr., Louis S. Ignatro, Christopher Nobi Ingracia, Paul Inella, Stephanie Veronica Irby, Douglas Jason Ingrang, Christy A. Irving Ryan, Todd Antone Isaac, Eric Haas Imberstein, Tazio Isnowikawa, Ishikawa, there, got it, Wield Joseph Iskander, Abraham Eskandrian, there we go, sound it out, John Francis Oskin, Kazaringa Ito, Lance Bernard Ivory, Virginia May Jablonski, Brian C. Jack, Brooke Alexander Jackman, Aaron Jeremy Jacobs, Ari Louise Jacobs, Jansen Kyle Jacobs, Michael G. Jacobs, Stephen A. Jacobson, Stephen D. Jacoby, Rickman Juggernaut, Jake Dennis Jagoda. Ishivi S. Jan. Maria Jakobek. Robert Adrian Jailbert. Gracia E. James. Ernest James. Mark Stephen Jardim. Amy Nicole Jarrett. Muhammadu Jaraya. Maxima Jean Pierre. Francis Jean Pierre. Paul Edwards Jeffers. John Charles Jenkins. Joseph Jenkins Jr. Alan Keith Jensen. Priyam Nam Jarat. Jennifer DeJesus. Narada DeJesus. Farah Girardi. Hindera Jim. Eliza Jimenez Jr. Louise Jimenez Jr. Charles Gregory John. Nicholas John. Denise M. Johnson. Scott Michael Johnson. Christopher D. Jones. William R. Johnson. Lashana Johnson. Allison Horseman Jones. Brian Leaner Jones. I'm sorry, Linder Jones. Charles Edward Jones. Donald W. Jones. Judith Lauter Jones. Mary S. Jones. Donald T. Jones II, Arthur Joseph Jones III, Andrew Brian Jordan, Robert Johnson Jordan, Albert Guinness Joseph, Carl Henry Joseph, Ingeborg Joseph, Stephen Joseph, James Eileen Hagen, Josh, Anthony M. Jorvik, Angel L. Jabber Jr., Karen Sue Jude, Ann C. Judge, Michael F. Judge, Paul Williams Jorgen, Thomas Edward Jorgens, Sasiskaran Lamiskahatra Gandaba. And thank goodness for all those lessons in Farsi I learned in Coronado. Grabahara Kamadava Nova. Wow. Sherry Kendall. Howard Lee Kane. Jennifer Lynn Kane. Vincent D. Kane. Ju Ku Kang. Hilden Robert Cantor. Deborah N. Kaplan. Robin Lynn Kaplan. Alvin Peter Kappelman Jr. Charles H. Kozinski. William A. Cairns. Douglas Gene Kopoloff. And Charles L. Casper. That concludes my reading of the list of names for my part of the show. Wow. I didn't think that I'd be able to get through all the names in time to end the show, but we have 20 minutes to spare. So maybe I shouldn't have gone so fast, but I do think, once again, not to overstress, but it's important to remember, as I'm sure you all do, that the names on this list represent friends and family. Friends, mothers, fathers. I have to always remind myself. Because, quite frankly, it's difficult after time passes to remember these things as well as we should. How many of our World War II survivors are veterans? People who even lived during that time
How easy do you think it is for them to remember? And keep in mind the fact that the friends, the family, the comrades in arms, to remember their humanity. I don't think it's very hard. I simply think that time passes and there's a tendency. There's just a tendency. It's hard sometimes to remember that the U.S. Arizona represents and has within it the tomb of fallen warriors who died in battle. I visited the memorial, the Arizona Memorial, and I had to remind myself that underneath where I was standing, well, I think you get the picture. No need to belabor the point. Cougars in the house. So, let's take one more quick break, and we'll listen to perhaps one of my favorite. I love this. There's a new, maybe it's not so new to you, but it's pretty much new to me. It's called PJ TV. And one of my favorites is Bill Whittle. And of course, Andrew Klavan is a part of the group. And I thoroughly enjoy the wit and humor and information that's provided here. Let's take a short break and listen to a little bit of what they have to say regarding the changing faces of foreign policy 11 years after 9/11. Are we safer? Well, they'll answer the question. You're listening to the C. Robert Jones Situation Report with me, your host, Dr. C. Robert Jones. Remember, the call-in number is 347-884-8500. We've got some great shows coming up in the next next few hours. So let's go ahead and take a listen to the promos and get the rundown on the next series of shows. Okay, stay with me. Don't go away. We have got 16 minutes left in this tribute to 9/11. Where were you?
Media for a day of remembrance of the terrible events and carnage of September 11th, 2001.
What doesn't kill you makes you strong.
Tuesday, September 11th, from 8 a.m. to midnight. Get your 9/11 fix all day, right here on Blog Talk Radio. Remember with reverence what the progressives want you to forget. Join Red Fox at 8 a.m. to kick it off. And then from 10 to 12, listen to the Patriot Zone Forum. Listen in from work or wherever you are and join my friend Doc Jones hosting The Situation Report at a special time from 12 to 2 p.m. Eastern Time. And then the lovely and talented radio chick Annie from Southern Sense carries the afternoon from 2 to 3:30 p.m.
What doesn't kill you makes you strong.
Starting again at 4, we have the East Anglian's EBL radio show for 2 hours with a heartfelt tribute to the day that lives in infamy. Tune in after work and listen to Freedom's Wings starting at 6 and sliding into primetime at 8. Listen to the show In Defense of Freedom. Then at 10 p.m., the grand finale. The very popular Hold Your Awakens wraps up this amazing marathon tribute, remembering the fallen from 9/11. Again, the shows involved are Red Fox,
8 to 10 a.m.
The Patriot Zone Forum,
10 a.m. to noon.
The Situation Report,
12 to 2.
Southern Sense,
2 to 3:30.
East Anglian's EDL radio show,
4 to 6 p.m.
Freedom's Wings,
6 to 8 p.m.
In Defense of Freedom.
8 to 10 p.m.
And Hold Your Awakening.
10 p.m. to midnight.
These are great shows with great hosts. And if you're looking for a break from the mainstream liberal media, then come to a place where conservatism is spoken, promoted, and enhanced by regular people who want to fight for their freedom. You can join the fight by listening and spend the day by remembering the fallen with these folks, each in their own way. The 9/11 tribute, remembering the events of the day, and reverence for the fallen. None asked for it that day, but all got it. Tuesday, September 11th, starting at 8 a.m. Eastern Time.
Right here on Blog Talk.
The C. Robert Jones Situation Report with me, your host, Dr. C. Robert Jones. The call-in number is 347-884-8500. We've just got under 13 minutes left to end the show. Hey, the promo you just heard is from my good friend, my good buddy, David Graham of Stay Mad Radio and the author of the book Stay Mad. He occasionally hosts a show on Blog Talk Radio, and the promo that you just heard was produced by David with less than a half hour's notice. I would say from the time that I told him that I needed a promo and I needed it fast, less than 30 minutes later, that promo that you just heard was in my email. If you're looking for a promo and you need it fast, the guy to go to is David Graham. I'm telling you right now, he'll pop it out for you nice and quick and you'll dig it. You'll dig it. For any of you who have shows coming up and you don't have the promo, please do get with me. The email address is usmarine1@hotmail.com. My sons were called to service not because their dad was like whispering in their ear since they were 3 or 4 years old to join the United States Marine Corps and become one of the greatest warriors the world has ever known. No. My sons became Marines as a result of their call to duty. As a result of 9/11. To this day, they serve our nation with distinction and they make a dad proud. So today, folks, let's continue on remembering 9/11. Let's continue to never forget. And let's not allow politicians to let it be said that we should forget. Because there are certain politicians out there, and today is supposed to be an apolitical day. For a lot of us, for everyone, as well as it should be. But it bears suggesting, it bears repeating that we not allow anyone, politicians, our neighbors, our friends, anyone, to say to us, just let it go. No. Let's not. Let's keep remembering. And we've got a whole host of shows coming up all evening long. You've heard the promo. It's all good. And it's going to be great all the rest of the night. Peter Johnson Jr. said it best, folks. I couldn't say it any better. And I said it earlier today. Let's remember what 9/11 has taught us. To love one another. Let's not wait until times run out to say I love you to anybody that we actually love, that is. You know. But I think that's one of the lessons that we should learn. Live in the day, live in the moment. And if you love somebody, hey, tell them. That's all those folks were thinking about. They were not thinking of themselves. Imagine that. In a world as cynical as we live in today, these people, the names that I just called out, the stories that you heard, every single one was thinking of someone else. Their friends, their family. Imagine that. Will you and I be so honorable if we're ever found in a similar situation? Or will some of us say, hey, don't forget to feed my dog? I don't know. Well, it's been a great pleasure hosting a show with this august group. And there are more shows to come right after mine. So join Annie the Radio Chick coming up next in just a few minutes with Cool Mike as her co-host. She's Batman, he's Robin, or she's Annie and he's Mike. Yeah. So join them. Let's move on over there. Let's get on over there in just a few minutes and support their show as they, well, they bring it in. They bring it in. Later we've got, we've got a whole group of folks, and I've set aside the entire day just for this occasion, just for these group of shows. I will be in every single one of the shows today. I have cleared my calendar. And let's hope you have too. All right, so let's move on over to Southern Sense, Annie the Radio Chick. I hope you've told all your friends because I've told all mine. And you know what? I've bribed folks. I've threatened to expose a couple of people. You know, I've got video. I've got audio. I've got it all. And so I've got some people coming. But that's not the reason why they're going to show. Well, not really. But they'll be there. And so should you. All right, let's bring it home and let's move on out of here with my main man, Ray Charles, bringing it home and putting it down for us because no one can say it better. No one can sing it better. America the Beautiful. I want to thank everybody for listening tonight. God bless you. God bless the, not listening tonight, this afternoon. God bless you. God bless the United States of America. And let's continue on and roll on with this tribute on this day, 9/11/2012. We're out.
A purple mountain. still.